faith. By definition, it's something that is felt with strong conviction without tangible evidence of its existence. Many claim to have it, but how do we attain it? It can't be held. It can't be sold. But it can be passed down. Faith is invaluable to those who feel it. How is it that this belief can unite us regardless of our differences? It's because of conviction, that feeling inside that links so many, from the far corners of the earth to the closest reaches of our neighborhoods. Faith is all around us. Faith springs from a glorious past forward to a promising future. The faith that those who not so quietly defeated rivals and redefined record books would inspire their brethren of today to reach such epic accomplishments. And all along, there are those who cheer. In their minds, they envision. In their hearts, they believe. And because of that, they are simply known as the faithful.
Faithful, this, heart. As far as I'm concerned, the nine of faithful is in my heart. It's in my blood. Every day of the week. It's not just Sundays or Mondays or Thursdays when we're on. It's every day of the week.
...3,000-plus miles from the sunny confines of the epicenter of the Niner Empire lies a town founded nearly two millennia before the 49er franchise. A town exploding with architecture, culture, history, and some of the most ardent faithful to wear the red and gold.
I live in a little town called Swindon, which is about an hour and a half west of London.
I'm from Manchester.
I'm from Hemel Hempstead.
I'm from Manchester in England, and I am a Niner fan.
How is it that these blokes from the UK became fans of a team two continents away, in a setting so contrasting to their own?
I was about 7 or 8 years old at school. And my friend had a small keyring on his bag. Sort of asked, you know, what was this that he had? And he told me that this keyring came with some bubble gum. So when my mum picked me up from school that day, I got her to stop at the local shop. I got a packet of this bubble gum, and when I opened up the packet, inside this keyring was a red jersey, and on it just said SF49ers. So that was kind of how it all started. From there, a beautiful relationship and friendship was born.
I became a 49ers fan because my friend, as a teenager, had a Miami Dolphins hat sent from America, and the 49ers were playing the Miami Dolphins in the Super Bowl that year. And I became a 49ers fan because I wanted to be the rival of my friend.
I was at school, we had a school library, and I saw this book, had a picture of Joe Montana on the front. And basically, I read the book, and it's about an English family, they're soccer mad, and it's about young boys who's growing up. His uncle lives in San Francisco. And his uncle takes him out there, introduces him to the game, and he becomes hooked. His family are dead against it because they're such big Tottenham fans, don't want him playing American football, want him sticking to football, but he loves the game so much that he just becomes a 49ers fan and lives and breathes the game. And it was such an inspiration to me that 49ers became my team, and it was always my ambition to then go over to San Francisco one day, see the players in Candlestick Park playing, and experience the sort of sights and sounds of San Francisco.
The first time I got invited to watch American football, it was the mid-80s, the Super Bowl against the Dolphins. I was only about 9 or 10 years old. A few of my buddies from school were having a sleepover, specifically to watch the Super Bowl, and there's my three friends in either Dolphin shirts or Dolphin hats, and one of them had Dolphin pyjamas on, and the game started, and there's Dolphins there, and there's this team in red and gold. I want that team. That's my team.
Whether it was a book, a hat, or something as simple as a bubblegum trinket, it really didn't matter. Young boys from the United Kingdom, like those from America, fell in love with their team at a young age. They wanted to see more. However, that was easier said than done.
Back then, we actually only had one game a week on the TV. You know, you'd be looking at the 49ers, the Raiders, the Redskins, the Bears, the Dolphins. They were the kind of the Giants, they were the big teams back in the day. So, you know, even people who don't really follow the sport, they know Joe Montana, they know Jerry Rice. These players are kind of household names across the globe, which is fantastic. So the kind of relationship developed at a very young age, and that would often involve either waiting until Tuesday's paper to find out the score of Sunday night's game. And then when we got a slightly more modern television, we had a service called CFAX and Teletext, which was actually on the television before school on a Monday morning. I would sit there waiting for the page to refresh and update to see how my 49ers had got on that day. Often when the 49ers were on television on a Sunday night, that would involve, because I was a youngster, that would mean I would go to bed, and then I would have to get my parents to videotape the game. And then when I got home from school on the Monday, after I'd done my homework, I was then allowed to watch the 49ers video of the game. And often in school holidays, when all my friends were out playing soccer, I was sat at home watching 49ers videos with Joe Montana, Jerry Rice. Yeah, I'm a real football geek.
Watching a game over here now is a little bit easier with the internet and things. At the beginning, watching the games and listening to games was terribly difficult. We only had Armed Forces Network in the 1980s. We got a few live games, mainly playoffs.
So the games are normally finishing around midnight, which means that obviously if you've got work next day, you know, you've got to kind of plan your day quite well. And certainly when it gets to the end of the season time, the crunch games, playoff times, I make sure I book annual leave to make sure that I'm free every Saturday and Sunday throughout January and of course the Super Bowl itself. So my girlfriend knows that she's not going to see me on a Sunday night.
Not only are the faithful in the UK catching up on sleep after a normal week, they've also had to catch up on understanding a game that Americans have been playing since the mid-1800s.
I always find that we're a little bit behind the Americans, if you like, when we're growing up, because obviously over in America you play it from being very, very small. Over here, the earliest you start playing, if you actually want to play, is really 16 years old. A lot of people get into the sport who don't actually play it.
As I say, the NFL started off so small in this country, had such a small fan base, and to support a kind of, you know, at that time, because the niche in the UK, obviously not in the US, you know, it was very hard to, you know, find fellow fans. So it was a case of you had to do your own research, and by doing your own research and grew your love of the game, you know, because you felt closer to 49ers, because it was your little private little world that you could disappear into and, you know, you could follow and look forward to every Sunday.
The knowledge is getting bigger and bigger, but I think it's down to social media, the coverage it gets on Sky Sports, and it's getting bigger. The knowledge in Britain is getting a lot stronger.
I think I could talk American football with anybody in the United States and you wouldn't know that I was not born in America.
There's a massive passion in the UK. We're really excited to get the teams over here, and you know, and that's shown by us constantly selling out Wembley. You know, Americans I've talked to over here are impressed with the knowledge we've got. You know, that we you know, it's not just about the 49ers, it's about all teams. And certainly fantasy football helps with that, and we've got our own little league that we play, the boys. I play in another five leagues as well. Certainly you get to know pretty much every player in the NFL by spreading it that thin.
I think they're equally as passionate as American fans. I think we do crazy things like get up in the middle of the night and watch games at 2 a.m. in the morning till 5 a.m, live and breathe it, really upset if we lose. I think we are die-hard 49er fans in the UK.
Do you have your own incredible faithful story to tell? Or do you know someone who truly is a faithful? Let us know about it. Email 49ersstudios at fns@49ers.com and share it with the world. The popularity of the NFL is undeniable. The spectacle of the sport is only rivaled by the action it provides for those who follow it. With 16 regular season games and a furious three-week playoff schedule that leads up to the biggest game of all, its appeal is unquestionable, not only to those who grew up around the sport, but also to the faithful who have adopted the sport as their very own. Such is the case across the pond, where a group of diehard fans agree on, well, almost everything.
Well, I'm actually a Reading Football Club fan. Reading is a small town just outside of London.
I'm not sure why anybody supports Reading, to be honest.
Mike Palmer is a Manchester United fan.
A dirty Manchester United fan.
Manchester United fan since 1977.
He's actually from Manchester, which is a rarity for a Manchester United fan.
They're a massive team. Not like a small team like Reading or something like that.
I'm a West Ham fan.
And they don't really win that much.
They're a funny little team. They have nice songs.
Based down near London, that's been my team.
And myself, I'm Glasgow Rangers fan. greatest team in the world, apart from the Niners.
We're all 49ers fans.
We're all 49ers fans.
We're all 49ers fans together as brothers, yeah.
As soon as Sunday comes, brothers in arms.
The friendly rivalry and banter, though, isn't always the norm. Soccer worldwide has been known to take on a darker personality, where segregation and division is commonplace.
Soccer has got a bad image that, you know, that there could be violence erupting, so they try and keep the fans separate throughout the game, on the way to the game and after the game as well.
And so all the fans are segregated. You never ever get the chance to sit next to your brother from a different city, if you will, or whatever, and just talk football.
And that does kind of lessen the atmosphere in a way, whereas, say, in the United States, you don't have that. The different fans can mix, and it just, you know, it makes everyone enjoy the game more.
I have to admit, when I was there, both for the Saints and the Packers games, I met fans of both teams who were just pure class. There was no trouble, no malice. Sure, there was forwards and backwards between people, but it was all taken in good humour. It was absolutely fantastic.
The biggest difference for me is you go into an American football game and you're welcomed. Everyone's included.
I think you have to start with a tailgate with the fans, because you don't really have that in the UK. We don't have a mass group of people outside. Maybe people will go a last minute at soccer. I was outside the stadium for 2 to 3 hours with people, mingling with them, meeting them.
I've had a few occasions where I've been walking through the parking lot, Candlestick, and I've been talking to my children, and somebody's heard my English accent, and they've welcomed us. Oh, are you from England? They say, oh, yeah, I've just come across to the game. And it's fantastic. They're just so welcoming.
The people over there were so friendly and really welcome people in.
In British football, it's almost regimented. It's like, this is my team. I go with one or two people. I go, watch the game, go home. It's not the same. It's a day out. It's an event. Whereas a soccer match over here, it doesn't have that feel about it.
The first time I came to San Francisco, It took a little while for it to register what I was seeing. You know, I've watched this team on the television through the years. I kind of got into the parking lot and I was like, I'm here, I've done it. You know, this is everything I've dreamed about since I was a little boy, seeing the stadium.
To actually be at the stadium, sitting in Candlestick Park, was just a dream come true. And I just sat there for 20 minutes in a daze, really, thinking, am I actually here? Players were passing me by and I was ignoring them because I was sat in the stadium that I'd watched for years and years and years. I was just in a daze. It meant so much to me.
We've lived and breathed this since we were kids. Actually, when I got into the stadium, it was kind of like you can just visualise everything that you've seen in the past. You know, Dwight Clark making the catch.
Pressure, throws his pass, caught by Clark!
And it was a little bit emotional, I'm not scared to admit. You know, I was just sat there and I was just like, I'm here, you know, and it was just incredible. That game was actually the Saints playoff game, and the place, it just erupted.
And it's got him!
You know, I thought we were going to have another earthquake there. I swear that stadium shook when that touchdown was caught. It was just out of this world experience. And again, I'm not afraid to admit it, I had a few little tears at the end of that game because I went through the mill that game. It was brilliant.
And the great thing about the game was that you're sitting there with opposition fans, rival fans, and just the banter we had throughout the game without any of the segregation we get in this country.
It's a big party and everyone's invited. No need for an invite, just come on down and have a good time.
Really felt part of the game. It was such a family atmosphere, you know, there was people of all ages there, and it was a great day out. It was, you know, 3-4 hours spent there. It was just such an amazing experience, and it only grew my love of the game.
A couple of years ago, I took my two sons, 9 and 10 now. As we walked away from the stadium, one of my lads actually said to me, Dad, that was the best day of my life.
Generally for 49ers games here in the UK, they normally start around 9:15 on a Sunday night. We're all well up beyond midnight watching games of football. Sometimes when that goes into overtime or it's a particularly long game, you're looking at 1 o'clock in the morning before we're going to bed. And then if we play on the Sunday night football or Monday night football, that actually involves tweaking your whole body clock and then maybe trying to get an hour's sleep before coming to work the next day. You know, we're a very, very dedicated group of fans, and our bosses have to be very lenient with us sometimes on a Monday morning, especially, you know, if the result hasn't gone our way.
Across the pond, a growing group of faithful follow the 49ers religiously. They touch base each week and root for the red and gold. This connection, however, was formed as many 21st century relationships have, beginning with the anonymity in cyberspace.
We all met as a group through social media, through Facebook, through Twitter, and we now actually meet up 2 to 3 times a year for watching games. The social network extends from kind of just talking to regular guys with jobs who are NFL fans to actual, you know, former NFL players and current NFL players even. And also through my own use of social media, I've actually got to know Roger Craig. And my first visit to San Francisco in 2012 for the New Orleans Saints game, he actually picked me up from San Francisco airport and he took me to my hotel and we met up and had dinner as well while we were in the city, which was absolutely fantastic.
Social media is very important because we see it growing constantly.
Social media has made us who we are as a group today. You know, that's really kind of extended the knowledge and everything and given us, you know, a really firm community of people here.
Social media not only spawned friendships and formed bonds, but it became a link for a group far from the Bay Area. A link that helped them feel more informed and connected to their passion. And maybe even more importantly, allow them to be organized in their faithfulness.
Mike actually formed the group in 2010.
Started off just dishing out a few cards, trying to get a bit of interest going. He then tried to join up with some of the empires over in the States.
As we all kind of came online on Sunday nights and through the week together, that group has really grown.
I wanted to try and find out if I could find the fans in the UK through Facebook. I was trying to promote it as much as we can and make people become 49er fans. Even if we know people are maybe support other teams, maybe they will become a 49ers fan here.
It started getting a little bit too big for him, so he took on a few extra pair of hands, if you like, to grow the group.
I'm president of Niner Faithful UK. There's vice president, which is Brian Davis. We have vice president Deepak Gohill. We have vice president Gavin Sutton. And we now have a new vice president, Gary Rutledge.
The group reflects the personality of its leaders. It's dynamic and progressively interested in expanding the cause. But one member has added extra personality and tenacity to the band of brothers, and that has helped push the group in directions it may have never found itself going.
I connected with Brian through Facebook. As a president of Niner Faithful UK, I needed assistance. Brian was one of my choices because he has such a great story and he has lots of connections. We met up in Birmingham for a first meet and decided how we were going to take this forward. He's loyal, definitely loyal to me, to the 49ers, to getting this group where it needs to go.
He's done a lot of work with the guys in the US and also in the UK and got some really good contacts that have helped grow the group. He's got such a vibrant personality and he makes friends with everybody he meets.
First time I met him, he's just a lovely bloke, absolutely fantastic bloke, very knowledgeable. I mean, before I met Brian, I actually thought I knew a lot about American football. He filled in a lot of gaps for me. He really does know everything. He seems to know a lot of people as well, which is always quite surprising.
With the expansion of the NFL's footprint in London comes new possibilities, expanded schedules, the possibility of a team's relocation, and even the whisper of a Super Bowl being played on British soil. The UK faithful are excited about their 49ers and their love for a sport that isn't as foreign to them as we believed it to be.
I would like the world to know how much we actually care for the game, how much knowledge we've actually got for the game, how much passion we've got for the game. Lots and lots of passion. You only have to sort of see how we go about watching the 49ers and the game itself and other American sports as to how much passion we as a group have got for both the 49ers and American sport.
I think faithful to me is all about loyalty. I was lucky. I started supporting the 49ers in the glory days, the Bill Walsh days, and you know, back-to-back Super Bowl wins, which is all good. But obviously, when we got into the 90s, there's the late 90s and throughout the early 2000s was a big dip. The faithful is about keeping strong. No matter how good the team is, you still support them to the same level. The rewards are being reaped with the current team and where we go.
Faithful means that this team runs through your blood every day. You think about it constantly. There's not a day goes by where you don't think about it, whatever the situation may be. That's what I think faithful is. And I've been faithful since 85 and will remain so for the rest of my life.
Faithful. Well, we're faithful for me, is sticking through the team through 2-14 seasons, the ugly seasons. We've lived that, we've breathed it. That's our team. There's no holds barred. There's no bridge we won't cross for the team. And we prove that in what we do on Sunday nights, watching the game, booking holiday for the team, flying to San Francisco to see the team, or coming to the airport to see the team. There's no bridge we won't cross for the San Francisco 49ers.
members of the faithful. As you can see, we love telling a good story. Trust us to share yours by reaching out to 49ers Studios at fns@49ers.com.
Seeing those guys up close in the flesh at the airport was amazing. Coach was so friendly, stopped, signed for us, had some photos taken with us, and just seeing those guys was such an amazing thing.
They were just so willing to stop, sign things, take pictures. I mean, I got pictures with my two boys holding the flag in front of them, and the boys are just absolutely over the moon. My 10-year-old couldn't stop grinning, and I think he's still grinning right now, to be honest.
It was everything we could have ever asked for, and when Patrick stopped for a picture and we all converged on him, and he had that kind of great big beaming smile. It was just like, this is why we do it. And then when we got back in the bus and I see that the 49ers had tweeted out that picture, I was just like, guys, you're never going to believe this.